Have you ever thought about your signature? Did you practice it to get your whirls right? How about your writing? Did you put circles for dots or have fancy A's? Or do you loop your Y's? Or do you slant to the left? Unbeknown to you, your handwriting is a giveaway. And I'm here today with Emma Baich. Is that right, Emma?
That's right.
Hooray! Sorry, she just told me how to pronounce her name. Emma Baich, the UK's leading graphologist. And she's going to tell us whether you're creative, shy, or even whether you've got a big or small sex drive. Emma's written a brilliant book packed with samples of handwriting, and we'll be analysing some today. Emma has appeared on Today and This Morning and has had columns in The Times and the FT. The book is called Reading Between the Lines, What Your Handwriting Says About You. Hi, Emma. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. So tell us more. With the world of computers, are we still developing our handwriting?
Well, I hope we're not developing it, but I fear that we're not writing as much as we used to. And I mean, it's very difficult for me to defend the fact that we're not writing because we're always on our iPhones or our tablets or whatever. But how I feel about handwriting and how I feel about graphology as a form of psychology is that as we lose our innate intuition because we're not actually analysing people, because we don't look them in the eye anymore, because we don't even shake hands with them, then graphology becomes more and more important as a way of actually being able to tell friend from foe.
So when do we write nowadays? Can you give us some examples?
Well, hopefully some of us still write thank you letters. most of us still write shopping lists or people who actually go out shopping, which is probably only people aged over 40, I guess. And I think we certainly still doodle. And as we're doodling, we still write words. So for as long as people are still taught how to write, and that's another bit of a bugbear of mine. But whilst we're still learning to write, we will always use that fine motor coordination.
Because do you remember when we learnt to write, it was sort of three lines in a book and you had to go above it and below it, and it was really quite sort of formal, wasn't it? How are children taught now?
Well, they're taught by, and I know that people are going to say, well, it's dreadful that she's saying that, but we're being taught, or children being taught, by people who haven't really been taught themselves terribly well. So that is an issue. But when you say there used to be three lines, that's exactly how I'm analysing it as well, because I divide up the letters of the alphabet into the upper zone, middle zone and the lower zone. So it is important that children are taught how to write correctly, simply because if you want to write something fast, which most of us do, then it's important that we know how to at least begin by joining up our letters, even if we decide to not join them up later on. But
yes, I've really noticed that quite a lot of adults, but we'll go into the characteristic of why that happens later. So how did you become a graphologist? I mean, it's quite an unusual career.
Yes, I mean, it wasn't certainly at school. They didn't have graphology along with sort of accountancy and undertaking or whatever. I've always been interested in people, and I've always been interested in psychology, but I was doing very different things, like working for an investment company or whatever, many, many years ago. And a friend of mine said, there's a weekend workshop in graphology. Do you want to do it? And I'm pretty sure that I'd read a book, however flippant the book was, on graphology, so I knew what it was. I loved this weekend that I did, and so then I went on to do a three-year course in it.
Three-year course? It can take that long to study.
Well, it does take that long, and actually longer than that,
because you're I suppose you're forever learning, though.
I'm forever learning, and it would be dreadful if I've stopped learning now, which I really feel that I haven't. I mean, I'm fairly confident. Well, I'm very confident with what I do, obviously, but certainly, you know, 20 years ago, I was still learning.
Yeah. So what is it, Emma, that fascinates you personally about it? I mean, you say you're interested in people. Is it kind of secrets? What is it?
Yes. Well, my book is called Reading Between the Lines, and that's quite aptly named, because I've always been interested in uncovering what's hidden. So I think, you know, we've all become slightly narcissistic with selfies and how many friends we've got on Facebook or whatever. So we look at these facades of people and we make assumptions. And I like to know what the person is really like. And even as a small child, I was always rooting around, opening drawers that I shouldn't be in and reading people's diaries that I shouldn't be. And I think I spent hours and hours on my own, just being nosy, actually. So I think that's what it is. And I think for me to have found a subject where I can actually discover more about people, for me, quite easily, is brilliant.
So how's the book laid out? How would people, if they bought it, how would they, how could they kind of quickly learn that that took you 3 years?
Well, nobody at the end of the book, hopefully, is going to be a competition for me, because I don't need that. But they will have a much better understanding of what a graphologist is looking at. Each chapter is about a different facet of the handwriting. So there'd be like the slant, the spacing, the size, the signature. And then there's a couple of chapters which I hope will be quite popular on danger signs, red flags to look out for, you know, trying to find the psychopath in your life or whatever. It might even be yourself. And then there's another chapter on compatibility, on what sort of people you're going to get on with, both in the workplace and in your private life. So in theory, you can read the book and just look at one chapter, but I'm hoping that when you start to read it, you'll be so engrossed that you'll just like...
So are you ever kind of naughty and sort of find out people's writing and think, I've just... You know what I mean? You meet someone and you think, God, all I want to do is see their writing. You know what I mean? It's like you get a massive urge, you know?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question, because when I was younger, when I was training, I would look at the handwriting and then try and work out what the person was like. But now sometimes at parties and things where I'm a guest, I'll meet the person and then I'm visualising what the handwriting is like. So it's flipped around. Yeah. I know that it hasn't affected really my relationships, because... You know, my friends, and remember that we're all a mixture of talents and foibles and positives and negatives. Obviously, you know, too many of the negatives, and you might not, you know, want them as your best friend. But then, you know, I've yet to meet anybody who's got too many positives. So it's
also, I like interesting people. So someone that's just pure kindness, I find very dull. You know what I mean? I want someone with a bit of a side, because then I can have more fun with them. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's pure kindness anyway. And there's, because, you know, narcissism can be in the form of someone who wants to garner popularity and get praise and everything else. So it's...
I suffer from that.
Oh, me too. And one of the other things I'm always asked is, oh gosh, my handwriting's so illegible, or it looks awful, or I've got this. I'm not interested in the aesthetics of the handwriting. I'm interested in how the person makes the mark on the paper. So for me, anything that's too pretty or visually pleasing in a sort of calligraphic or aesthetic way doesn't necessarily have the positive connotation that people might think it has.
How interesting. So maybe that they are, yeah, it is a facade, it is a fake, yeah, it is a front.
Well, anything that slows the writing down, and as you say, anything that creates a mask obviously makes it harder for anybody, including myself, to find out the real them. But why would anybody be less than transparent about who
they are? See, because I was left-handed at school and it was ink pens, my writing was a nightmare. I was always smudging across the page. So I changed my writing sort of every kind of month for about 2 years. It took me a long time to find my style.
Well, that's the other question I'm asking. My handwriting changes all the time. Mm. When I'm analysing...
Mine does as well.
Well, when I'm analysing handwriting, I'm analysing the person, how they are absolutely there, not even 2 hours before or half an hour afterwards. But your main characteristics aren't going to change unless something, you know, something has happened in your life to make you change your personality. But if I'm analysing somebody when they've just woken up and in the morning and they're fresh and energetic, it's going to be very different than if I'm analysing them at 1 o'clock the next morning after a bottle of wine or whatever. That's them having a bottle of wine, not me, but that would be... I'm looking at the fixed traits of the, you know, personality, how people relate to each other and what their talents are. But I'm also looking at the transitory traits of how happy the person is, how tired they are, how they feel towards the person they're writing to, if they're not writing for themselves. So
that's really interesting. Well, let's start off. I've got some birthday cards here. It's my daughter's 22nd birthday. Right. And you're going to now look at, you don't know who these people are. which is quite good. No. Okay, all right.
Do you want me to put the names?
No, I prefer not.
Okay,
to.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this writing here, and it's pretty upright. Mm. Even though it's written on card, I can see that it's quite a pale pressure. Yeah. This person is a bit of a perfectionist. They're very well balanced, but there's a slight quirkiness to them, because I'm looking at the tails to the Y strokes, and we're all taught that to make a leftward loop, but this person has chosen not to have a loop and it goes slightly to the right, so they can be a little bit more unusual emotionally. I'm going to just leave it at that. Mm. But generally they're not somebody who likes to display their emotions too easily. A little bit stubborn as well, so there's that person.
Interesting.
Now, this person is very different. The pressure, even though it's, again, I'm seeing it on card, I can see is much heavier, and it's got quite a strong right slant. This person is very emotional, but there's quite a lot of angst here. There's quite a lot of angst. There's quite a lot of stress. Their signature, they've triple lined it underneath, so they like to have their own way. There's a bit of a wobble here. So when they wrote this, they were under quite a lot of pressure, or there was a lot of anxiety, and there's a little bit of retracing. In other words, they've written a letter and then they've gone over it. So this is somebody who doesn't take life lightly. They find it difficult to relax, but there's a bit of a sort of cauldron of emotion, really.
Interesting.
Third.
So this is actually, can I just give you, because that's actually from the cat. So I'm going to do it the same. That's the
very
same
good
person.
Writing. Yeah, the cat. The very good writing. Okay, so this isn't from the cat. Yeah. Right, so this is, I've chosen this again because it's different from the others. Yeah. This is very loose writing in that although the letters are joined up, there's big spaces between them. Mm. And actually, there's a bit of irregularity because it starts off being very loose, and then as the page goes on, it becomes a bit more uptight. Again, a lot of emotion here. This person is impatient. They just want to get on with things. There's a lot of progression. They're clever. They're very, very creative. They've got a good mind. At the end of each, I mean, obviously this is the radio, so it's quite difficult to explain, but the end of each line, there's a little bit of dropping off, so that it's sloping down. A bit tired when they wrote this, but obviously it's in a birthday card, so they're being constrained by space. But this is somebody who starts off with lots of energy and then sort of can wear themselves out a little bit.
That's me.
Oops. That's fine.
Sounds a story of life.
We better crack on with this before you fall asleep.
Yeah, but it was good because you said I was creative and intelligent.
No, very creative. That's now, this final one is much more controlled, but there's a very good sense of humour here. There's he or she has put much love, and the L curves right round. So quite idealistic, idealistic, strong imagination, but very well balanced, but sort of sensible and very much a people person. It's joined up. They like to have their own way. She's done a capital H, and the second vertical stroke goes right down like a stake into the ground. So it's going to be quite difficult to change their mind over things. And they've also written a diagonal line underneath their name. So again, like to have their own way, but good sense of humour, sensible, reliable and people person.
Okay. Just one more I'd love you to do, which is actually, this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Lastly.
Okay. Now this is interesting because we haven't really talked about, slant or right and left-handed. This person's got a slight left slant. Now, if they're left-handed, which you may or may not know about, okay, that would mean something different. Okay, this is somebody who's, the spaces between the words are quite small, so they initially they come across as very sociable, needing people around them, which they do, but because there's a slight left slant, they don't necessarily see themselves as a team player. They enjoy being in the company of others so that they can observe others, and they see themselves as slightly outside the crowd looking in. The lower zone loops, there's a bit of variety here. They get bored easily, very febrile mind. They're probably not somebody who would enjoy a 9-to-5 job. They like to be doing lots of different things, but clever and very intuitive. There's a lot of disconnection between the letters, and also it's slightly thready, which when you read my book, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Because you're thready, aren't you?
I'm yes. thready. So very, very quick mind, but impatient again, but fast mind. And also they've written on the diagonal, which again is...
I can't see that at all. I can't see the diagonal.
Can't you?
Oh, yeah, slightly to the left.
Well, no, it's going up, you see. It's going up.
That's your trained eye.
I suppose it is. So that's speed. That's another indication of speed. I mean, it could be an indication of informality as well, because probably if you were applying for a job in handwriting, you would probably write slightly more on the level. But you don't want to be too much on the level. You don't want to be so much on the level that it looks as though you've written on lined paper, because that means that you're too controlled. But this is nice fluidity.
So you haven't said really anything bad about anyone. Tell us some negative traits, you know, the psychopath, the scary loner,
the thing is, no one trait means anything, but I'm looking at every single facet of the handwriting. So when I'm making a judgment or an analysis, I'm looking at everything together. But if, for instance, you had very, very heavy pressure, which is to do with excess energy, along with a lot of angular strokes, which is to do with aggression, possibly along with a very sort of pasty stroke where the ovals of the O's and the A's are filled in. You know, you might have somebody who could be quite violent or even sexually deviant.
Wow. So. Wow. I mean, yeah, you said about sex life. So how can you, you know, do any of these seem like they got... Is there anything sexy coming out of these writings?
I don't know. Nothing that would alarm me necessarily make me rip my clothes off. But the thing is that the lower zone of the writing tends to be about the physical, and included in the physical is the
sexual. So lower zone is like the wise.
Is the wise and the...
what about big loops then? Big wide
well,
loops?
Well, yeah, the loops in the lower zone of... important, but the loops in the upper zone, like the H's and the L's, that's really to do with more intellectual and idealistic situations. The lower zone loops, you know, I'm looking to see how much somebody has deviated away from the copybook style that they were taught. So if somebody has enormous loops and a very pasty writing, which again,
what does pasty mean?
Pasty means it's the breadth of the stroke, so it's not the depth, it's not how the heavy the pressure is, it's to do with choice of nib or choice of pen. I mean, for instance, if everybody probably has got an idea now of what Donald Trump's handwriting looks like. He chooses to write with a felt tip. Now, you could say, oh, it's, you know, he's just got a whole load of felt tips on his way. No, it's because that's his personality. And he's a very, you know, there's a big sensuality thing there, which is sort of at odds with the fact that he's not actually an emotional person. He's a businessman. But he does have this strong sensuality.
Yes, because I have two, I haven't got a card here, but my mother-in-law and one of my best friends always writes in an ink pen, always, you know. So what are they trying to say about themselves?
Well, no, ink pen is good, and an ink pen, I can see the shading, and ink pen is what certainly our generation, we were taught to write at with school. Ink pen is fine. Felt tip is something different, and a thick felt tip, like a marker.
Yes, is that what he writes in?
That's what Donald Trump writes in.
So he's like a graffiti artist in a way. He is putting his stamp on the world.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that would be a fair comment. But we haven't touched on signatures. But
no.
A signature on its own is meaningless. But a signature is like your shop front, is like your business card. It's how you'd like to be perceived by other people. And so it's interesting for a graphologist to compare it to the main body of the writing to see if what you see is what you get. With Donald Trump, generally what you see is what you get. So there's little facade there. But then with other people like Barack Obama, what you see isn't what you get. So it's
come
important.
On, give us a little bit about gossip about Barack.
Well, I haven't got his handwriting. But
what do you remember from it?
Well, both Donald Trump and Barack Obama are narcissists, both of them. One's covert, one's overt. And that's the interesting
but
thing.
But don't you think you have to be to get there nowadays, to have the drive?
Well, I guess...
Also to want to be the face of America. You know, you've got to have some vanity to kind of think you're special enough.
Narcissism is almost a bit more than vanity. It's, yes, For sure. And
okay, what's narcissism?
Well, narcissism is when you actually have... I mean, vanity is worried about the way you look. And I mean, narcissism is actually believing in... You have such enormous self-belief that whatever anybody says to you negatively, you're not going to believe it. And you are the centre of your world. It's got nothing to do with... I mean, I don't think Donald Trump's vain.
No.
I don't think he cares less.
He wouldn't have that hairstyle.
He couldn't care less what he looks like. And he also doesn't care what people say about him.
No.
He doesn't care at all, which is extraordinary because most of us do. He doesn't care what other nations think of him because he's a narcissist, because he doesn't see their views as important.
Okay, what about some female celebrities? Can you remember any or famous people? What about the Queen?
Oh, well, the Queen. You know, I'm not going to say anything bad about the Queen. I mean, the Queen has got very much handwriting of her time. Yeah. Again, it's in my book. And it's, you know, she's, as I remember, there's a little bit of, she can feel irritated about things. She's nobody's fool, but there's a great fluidity. I've also done female politician like Margaret Thatcher. Very, very strong ego, but actually she's, along with that, she also has self-doubt, a highly intelligent, very speedy writing. And then Angela Merkel is in there, and I've done a very quick comparison between Putin, Trump and Angela Merkel. I mean, obviously Angela Merkel is... you know, not in the running for narcissism compared to the other two. And I think they would possibly, you know, they would be maybe a little bit patronising of her. But I mean, there's certainly there'd be a very close relationship between Putin and Trump. And I think they would admire each other, you know.
Well, I think they do. That's one of the problems.
Well, one of the problems or one of the solutions. I mean, you know, our relationship with
the East
could possibly change quite dramatically in the next few years.
Exactly. So if anybody wants to analyse their lover, their mother, their child, their employee, please go and buy Reading Between the Lines, What Your Handwriting Says About You by Emma...
Bache.
That's it. That's spelled B-A-C-H-E. And it's published by Quercus. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you.
For more extraordinary women, always go to radiogorgeous.com.